Morning, when everything's been on the idea of friends this morning, and thank God that there are people can have friends. Amen. And thank God that that God has given us friendship, and what a great thing to have. And you know, friendship is so great because God is the one who made it. Amen. God is the one who made friendship. You know, He made Eve to be a helpmeet to Adam, but to be his friend, his close companion. And of course, Adam and Eve were the friends of God, and it was God who made friendship. And how important friendship is this morning. Let's take our Bibles, Proverbs 27. If you found it, say amen, and I'll know you're there. All right, Proverbs 27. Notice what it says in verse number 1. We're going to read a few verses here. And I'm going to preach this morning on this thought of the importance of friends. The importance of friends. Verse number 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love, and faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth in a honeycomb. But to the hungry, every hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, and so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend, thy father's friend, forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. And he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, and he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." Now, in this passage here, you know, notice the word friend being used over and over and over again. And again, it teaches us Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he knew the importance of having friends and what the Bible says about friends. And that's what we're going to preach on. So let's pray, and then we'll get started this morning. Father, I pray that you bless the word this morning. And God, as we preach on this thought of friends and friendship, God, how important that is. The greatest friend that there ever was, Lord, it's you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the friend of sinners. God, I'm thankful this morning, God, that you created friendship. And God, you want to be a friend to everyone in this room this morning. And I pray, Lord, if there's one, they're here this morning, they feel all alone. Lord, this is a room full of people, but sometimes people still feel all alone. May they feel your presence this morning, and may they not be alone as we preach the word. May the Holy Ghost of God speak to their hearts. God, if there's one that's undone in their sin, maybe today could be a day of salvation. They'd find you as their best friend. Father, for the child of God this morning, God, Lord, who's walking with you, may the Holy Ghost of God bless their heart this morning, and may that one that maybe has walked away from you, may they walk back this morning. And God, just have your will and way. Guide my heart and lips. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as I preach on this thought of the importance of friends and friendships, you know, even in society, in secular world, they realized the importance of friendships. They made all these sitcoms about friendships over the years. If you remember, they had Seinfeld. And Seinfeld was about three people that were friends, really. That's what it was about. And then you had that How I Met Your Mother. You had, that was about the friends, and then you had that TV show called Friends. And we really never watched much of those, but I'll tell you what, millions of people did, and the reason they did is because they could identify with the thought of having friends. Everyone wants to have friends, and that's a natural thing, to want to have friendship or to want to have companionship, to have these kind of things. And again, that's why these shows were so successful, because they depicted the everyday friendships that people go through. And again, that's not necessary. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. The Scripture says a lot about friends, believe it or not. And as we look this morning, you know, even in this text, it gives you the characteristics of what friendship really is and what a good friend really is. If you'll notice in verse number 5 and 6, look what it says there. Open rebuke is better than secret love, and faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of an enemy are deceitful. You know, a real friend will speak the truth. The real friend will tell you as it is. And you know, and that's great to have that kind of friendship. You can, if you're friends with somebody, you can be honest with them and talk to them, and hey, and that's what friendship's all about. And that's what makes the betrayal of a friend so devastating, because you share things together. Remember Judas? How did Judas betray Jesus Christ? Was it not with a kiss? Wasn't it Jesus that said, he said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And of course he kissed him and betrayed him. But Jesus, before Judas kissed him, you know what he called Judas? He said, friend. He called him a friend. The best friend that Judas ever had was Jesus Christ, and he betrayed him. I can tell you this morning, the best friend you'll ever have is Jesus Christ. You say, why? Because he tells the truth. Amen. He's all about the truth, and thank God that he is. And I'm glad that for people in my life over the years that came alongside, they put their arm around me and said, now let me tell you something, Brother Chris, and so by so by so. Now let me tell you, sometimes it hurt when they told me the truth. I mean, sometimes I felt insulted when they told me the truth. Sometimes I was downright indignant when they told me the truth. But you know, I knew this. When they put their arm around me and they told me what they had to tell me, it was because they loved me. Amen. And thank God, that's what a friend does. They speak the truth. Notice verse 9. You say, what else does a friend do? Well, they spice up life. Can you imagine what life is with no friends? Life is very lonely when you don't have friends. And friends are an appointment thing. Verse number 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by what? Hearty counsel. There is something about having friends. You know why these kids like to go to school? Because who do they miss over the summer? Their friends. And then, you know, I know we can text nowadays, and we got Facebook, and we got all that stuff, right? You know, it's not as isolated as it was years ago. I mean, you remember when you was a kid and you had a girlfriend in school? And then summer came, and you got back to school and found out that she had a different boyfriend. You say, what happened? Man, you got disconnected from your friends. You were disconnected big time from your friends. I mean, summer, I mean, you got out June 3rd, and you didn't go back till August 6th, or September 6th, and man, they sang all kinds of songs about that, you know? Neil Sedaka, some of these guys, about a long, lonely summer, and so on and so forth. But you say, why is that? Because you got separated from your friends. And that was the excitement on the first day of school. You had your new school clothes, and you'd go down there, and you'd see all your what? All your friends. And man, what a, you know, and now the people you lived in the neighborhood with, okay, but those ones you didn't live in their neighborhood, and where I grew up in Blue Ash, we were kind of separated, right? And so, you know, you only saw the kids that, you know, that rode your bus, and that was it. And but there was something about that when you got back to school and you were there with all your friends and your buddies and all that kind of thing, and it was so exciting, and it always was. And summer was just that time where you'd have that separation. And so it is in life. As you grow up, you find out the importance of having friends. I can hear some people say, well, I don't need any friends. Yeah, I can tell. A person that doesn't have friends is a miserable person. You understand? There is something about having people that you can identify with and can help you. You know, there's nothing better to be in a, hey, your car's broke down, you pick up the phone. Hey, will you come over? Yeah, I'll be right there. I'll be right there. And that's what friends do. They spice up life. They make life better. And the saddest thing, again, you'll ever see is a person that has no friends. And again, why do a lot of these young people commit suicide? Because they say, I don't have any friends. I have no friends. And, you know, let me tell you something. God, thank God he wants to be your friends. I had some friends growing up with. My brother Joe was he was my best friend there. Davey Wilson, Doug King, Kenny King, David Sproing, Bill and Sproing, and Scott. We said, what do you do? We were buddies, man. We hung out together. We were friends. And you know what? Any of these guys could call me today, and I would drive to Cincinnati to help them. Why? Because we're friends. When you're friends with somebody, hey, friendship means something. And again, we live in a day when, you know, we have a lot of acquaintances, but not a whole lot of what? True friendship. They say you can count your real friends on one hand. You know, that's sad. We ought to be able to count our real friends on our hands and our toes and everything else. But again, we live in a day when, hey, there ain't a lot of real friends out there. But the Bible talks about friends. They speak the truth. They spice up your life. And you know, and they stay by your side. They stand with you when no one else will. Look at verse number 10. Thine own friend, thy father's friend, forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity. For better is a neighbor that's near than a brother afar off. You know, in life, it's true that sometimes your friends are closer than your family. That's true. Now, when I was a child, when I was 7 years old, I learned the bitter lesson of that verse right there, that you can't always count on your family. You can't always count on your family. Now, when I was growing up, I was one of them kids that was ADDH and everything else, mean. I mean, just you name it, that was who we were growing up. And we would fight every day. I loved to fight. There was nothing like just punching somebody or having them punch you. And we just loved to fight. We fought every day. And Dirk Montgomery, we'd fight every day, and I'd beat him every day, and he'd go home crying every day. And that was so much fun. And we were friends. But, you know, one day his brother saw... Big brother, his 18-year-old brother, saw me beating him up, and he went home crying, and he said, I've about had enough of Chris Papunas beating my little brother up. Now, my sister Bev liked Dirk's brother, and what happened was he called my sister Bev up and said, hey, I'm getting tired of your little brother beating up my little brother. He said, I'm going to set up a little thing, and I'm going to let my little brother beat up your brother. Will you help me? And lo and behold, my sister Bev agreed to it, and she set it up. She said, yeah, he's a little, you know, my sister Bev, you know, she didn't like me so much. I was always tattling on her. She got her butt whipped so many times because I told on her for drinking, told on her for smoking, told on her for driving without a driver's license. But that was her fault for taking me. You don't take a tattletale anywhere. You leave them at home because what are they going to do? They're going to tell. But she would take me. And I'd wait for the opportune time, and I'd say, well, now's the time for her to get her butt busted, and I'd tell Dad. And boy, he'd call her in the room and bust her butt like you've never seen it. And I said, oh. And I'd be in there smiling all the time. She's, ow, ow. You know, she's getting it, right? And boy, she said, I'm gonna fix you, buddy. And boy, she did. She did. She set it up there. It was like at the showdown at the OK Corral. And you know, if you know anything, if you like to fight, you got to know something about fighting. You can only really do good in fighting when you're in the mood to fight. You got to be in the mood to fight if you're going to do good in a fight. And you got to be somewhat irritated. You got to be somewhat mad. You got to be into it if you're going to win. Well, I done beat him up all week. I wasn't into it. I just wasn't into it. And she says, we're going down the street today after dinner. And I said, well, what are we doing? We said, we're just going down the street. They said, you're gonna beat up Dirk Montgomery. Now, and boy, she had me set up good. And my sister Barb went, my sister Wilda went, my sister Wanda went, my brother Joe went. They all went to see me get beat up that day. And I said, are you kidding me? We got down there, and I'm thinking, what is this? I'm on top. They always at the bottom. His brother's, you know, teaching him how to box, teach him all this stuff. You know, you know how it is when kids fight, man. We bite, we kick, we scratch, we pull hair, we do everything, right? We street fight. But he was teaching him how to fight for real. And so what happened was, I walked down the hill, and he picked him up and threw him right on top of me. And, boy, he come down and hit me in the eye, and oh, my gosh. And they pulled him off, and the fight was over. And, of course, I had the biggest black eye you could imagine. Had that thing for about 4 weeks. And, boy, that thing swelled up there. And then my sister said, don't you cry, don't you cry. You know, you got what you deserved all the way home. And I thought that day, I made a mental note. You can't always count on family. You cannot always count on family. I said, I made a little mental note that day. And I said, you know, boy, I'm going to tell on you now. I didn't tell on her that day. I said, but every chance I get, I'm going to tell on you now. And boy, I did. But I learned a valuable lesson that day. I thought, boy, I need some friends. I need some friends. I learned another lesson that day. It don't pay to fight all the time. I went to the swimming pool a week later, and I shoved a guy, and boy, we were ready to fight. And he said, you want another black guy? And boy, that I had a mental note there, and I thought, no, I don't. And I said, we'll talk later. And I said, just let it go. Let it go. That taught me a lesson in life. I said, you got one black guy, you don't need another one. And I said, I better let it go. But I'll tell you what, you learn some things in life. And you learn, again, that many times friends are closer than your own very family, and that's true. Some of our folks here in church, listen, we're friends here. And our church family, you're closer than some of my real family is. That's a fact. And I enjoy seeing you as much as I see in them. Matter of fact, I enjoy seeing you more than I enjoy seeing them. You say, why is that? There's something about friendship. There is something about it. And just being in your presence creates joy in my heart. And what a blessing it is. When I'm a pastor, I see you walking that way, I smile. Man, I am so glad to see you. You say, why? That's what friendship is. And friends stay by your side, and thank God that they do. Let me give you this next one. Verse 17. Friends, they sharpen your personality. Look at verse number 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You say, what does a friend does? You challenge one another. You correct one another. You cultivate one another. You say, what is it? You help each other grow. Help each other mature. Help each other to be the best that you can be. That's what real friends do. You know, you hear these people say, well, they got bad friends. Let me tell you something. Brother Chris was joking around the other day. He said, they don't have bad friends. They are bad friends. Birds of a feather flock together. You understand that? And the, you know, my goodness, people always, oh, when I was growing up, my whole lifetime, people, neighbors say, them opponents boys, they're not good people. And we weren't. But they weren't either. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason we were all such good friends, because we were all bad. And, you know, and that's how it was. But you know this? But you know what friends are supposed to help each other do? Help each other be better. If all your friends do is help you go to jail, you need some new friends. If all your friends do is help you have broken bones, you need some new friends. If all your friends do is take everything you got, you need to find out some new friends. Because that's not what friendship is. Friendship, you know, friendship, it builds you up and builds one another up. That's what friendship is. You're encouraging one another and helping one another to be better. And that's what the Bible speaks of a real friend. And that's what we're going to preach on here now, is this ideal of this friend. And that's all these things I just mentioned here is exactly what Jesus Christ does for us. It's exactly what he does for us. And again, he's the friend. And when it comes to these friendships and relationships, the most important friendship or relationship you'll ever have is with Jesus Christ. That's a fact. Amen. That's a fact. You say, can I really be a friend of God? Abraham was. Abraham was called the friend of God. He spoke with God face to face, and what a blessing that was. Enoch was a friend of God. He walked with God, and one day, God took him to heaven. Amen. Samuel was so close to God that God would just whisper in his ear, and God would talk to Samuel. And we can be that close. It is possible to have friendship with God. God desires it. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to be that person that is always by your side. He wants to be that one who walks with me and talks with me. That's what God wants to be to you this morning. Now let me say this, three simple little things, but the first thing is, thank God this morning, thank God that Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. He's the friend of sinners. You know, I can say that this morning. You know, when they wanted to insult Jesus, they said, well, he's a friend of sinners. Well, hallelujah. What a great thing. I'm glad that he was a friend of sinners, because I'd have never got in if he wasn't. Amen. We look in Matthew chapter number 11 this morning. Thank God he's a friend of sinners. Thank God he's a friend. You know, I think the problem we have today in which we live, some people think so highly of themselves that they forget that Christ came to save sinners. Amen? That was the whole reason Christ came. It was to save sinners. And Matthew chapter 11 and in verse number 16, the Bible says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped on you, but ye have not danced. We have mourned on you, ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. See, Jesus Christ was the friend of sinners. Thank God that he was. Thank God that he cared for those who no one cared for. Thank God that woman that was taken in adultery in the very act, when he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, no Lord, no man hath condemned me. And Jesus said, neither I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Thank God for there was someone that was the friend of sinners. If you look in Matthew chapter number 9, just back up one page there, Matthew 9 and verse number 10, again, the Lord dealing here. notice what it says. And it came to pass in verse 10, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, he went around and he ministered to those people. And he was, no doubt, the best friend that a sinner will ever have. If you're here lost without Jesus Christ, the best friend you will ever have is Jesus Christ himself. And nobody loves you more this morning than he does. Amen. Nobody does. The sad thing is they just don't realize it. If you knew this morning how much Jesus loved you, you'd be completely blown away. God loves you this morning. The love of Christ that made him come down from Calvary. The love of Christ that brought him into human form. The love of God that brought him to the cross where he would give his life's blood for you and I. Sad thing is that most people don't even realize it. You know, most sinners don't have too many friends. How do you know that? I've been to the county jail. Where are their friends? You go to jail and find out how many friends you got. You'll find out when it's time to pay the bail, you don't have no friends. I'm not lying to you. The guys who go down to Coosa County, they'll tell you. Hey, what should be a week in Coosa County turns into a year because they ain't got no friends. Ain't nobody coming up with no bail money for you because you say what? You find out who your friends are when you're in trouble. Hey, go to prison, find out how many friends you got. Hey, I've been at the hospital. Nobody comes. Why? Where's all them friends? Where are they at now? Hey, go down to the rescue mission. Where are them friends now? Hey, go down to the nursing home. Where are them friends now? How about this one? Go down to the funeral home. You know how many funerals I've been to where there's 15 people? And I thought to myself, where are their friends? Went to a little funeral up in Ohio. One of the ladies used to come to church, her name was Dina. And she died and drug overdose, and her daughter followed her path, died with a drug overdose. Her son died with a drug overdose. But her daughter had been in and out of jail and always struggled. She said, well, my friends. You know, at her funeral, how many people were there? 5 people. Her dad was there. I was there. Brother Vic was there. Ralph and Jenny from church were there. And I thought to myself, where's all our friends? Oh, your friends will sell you the cocaine and the heroin and all this stuff. Yeah, they'll give all that stuff to you, but where are you? Where are they in the end? Yeah, they'll hand you some Jack Daniels. Yeah, they'll help you rob the bank. They'll help you do all those things. But where are they? Where are they then? Amen. Sherry was 22 years old. Where are they then? Where's all them friends that we get so worried about? The preacher was there. A couple church friends were there. Where was everybody else? That's sad. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. You know what a real friend? They're going to love you no matter what. Because that's what friendship is. That's what John 3:16 is so great. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4, speaking on the same topic of love and the idea of God's love. And I'm glad that God does love us. I'm glad that there's a real friend out there who cares. But 1 John 4 and He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son of the world, that we might live through him." Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. You know what makes God's love so great? Because he loves us first. Jesus loved me when I didn't love him. Let me tell you, that is friendship. When you can love the unlovely, and you can love the unworthy, and you can love the undeserving, that's what makes Jesus Christ so great. He's the friend of sinners. And he loves us even when we don't love him. And he's there even when we're not there. He shows up when we don't. That's real friendship. You see, with the friendship of God comes the most important thing. You say, what is that? It's forgiveness. What did Jesus say when he went to the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hey, forgiveness is the greatest thing that God has ever offered to the human race. Forgiveness, cleansing, a new start. Romans 10 says, "What saith the word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart, the word of faith that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know the great thing about Jesus Christ? He ain't turning away nobody. Now, in our human frailty, I may reject you and you may reject me. But Jesus Christ ain't never going to reject you. I told a man, and I was hoping they'd come today. Boy, they have some problems. I said, "Why don't you all come to church? We're having Bring a Friend Day. You can be my friend and come." And he said, "Preacher, we're coming." I said, "Now, you're lying to me now. You ain't really coming." He said, "No, we're coming." I said, now, "I'll be looking for you." You need to come. You ought to come. I said, "You ain't got a friend in the world. You need to be here." Man was from Chicago. He ain't liking it down here in the South. He said, listen, we want you to come to church. We want you to be in the house of God. What do you got up in Chicago? You might get killed on the street somewhere, right? You don't need to be up there. Stay down here in God's country. You understand? We're joking now, but come on. I thought, what your problem is? You ain't got a friend in the world. But Jesus Christ wants to be your friend. Jesus Christ wants to be your friend. Hey, listen, tell you, there ain't no better friend than God's people. Ain't no better friend than God's people. And ain't no better friend than God. And I felt about to myself, if you can only get down to the place where they love you, and that's the house of God. Love you unconditionally. Want you to be there. You know what I'm saying? But so many folks don't understand that, hey, they're running from God, and God's got his arms open and say, "Man, you're going the wrong direction. This is where you need to come." See, he's a friend of sinners, and he's offering forgiveness. He's offering fulfillment. You say, what is fulfillment? It's peace and joy and happiness. The peace of God that passes all understanding, the joy that's full of glory and unspeakable. Why is the world on drugs? Because they can't find joy and happiness. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Thank God for the love of God. Forgiveness, fulfillment, friendship. Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Let me tell you that, to know that you have someone that's going to go with you all the way. Napoleon had a friend. Before Napoleon became the Emperor of France, he was a very despondent person. He was penniless, he was powerless, and he was suicidal. A friend met him one day while he was standing there on the bridge, and he was pondering jumping off the bridge and committing suicide. His friend came along and he asked him, he said, "What's wrong?" And he told him, he says, "I'm broke. And my mother's in need of, my mother's in need, and I'm despairing of life." His friend said, "Oh, is that all?" He said, that's callous. He said, "Oh, is that all?" And he handed him $600 in gold. Hand him $600 in gold. Is that all? Is that all you need? Is that your only problem? You need a little money? Here it is. He gave it to him. Napoleon took that money and he became the Emperor of France. And Napoleon, all his life, sought to repay his friend but couldn't find him. You know where his friend was? Serving anonymously in Napoleon's army. You see, his friend didn't want anything in return. He just wanted to be his friend. You know what a real friend does? Just comes along, asks nothing in return. Well, that's the love of God. He ain't asking nothing in return. He's asking, hey, he wants to change your life. He wants to be a part of your life. You say, why? He's the friend of sinners. Thank God that he is. Thank God. And he's offering you a future in heaven. I mean, my soul, a future in heaven. He went to prepare a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. Can I say this morning? He's a friend of sinners, but he's a friend of the sorrowful. Boy, a lot of people are sorrowful this morning. Around this world and around this nation and right here in Eastridge, they're sorrowful people. They don't have a joy. They don't have joy in their heart nor a spring in their step. They're sorrowful. The book of Isaiah 53 speaks of Jesus Christ. And the reason he's a friend of the sorrowful is because he understands sorrows. The Bible calls him the man of sorrows. Isaiah 53, and let me read the verse here for you, but verse number 1, it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, and he hath no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Do you remember at the crucifixion how many of his 12 disciples were there? One. John was there. But that was after they all forsook him. That was after they all denied they knew his name. And then as he hung on the cross and became sin for you and I, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because at that moment Christ became our sin, your sin, my sin. And God the Father couldn't look on it. Listen, he's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. You got sorrows, you got problems, you got cares, you got disappointments. Let me tell you, so did Jesus Christ. There's one person that can truly say, I know how you feel. Amen. Jesus knows how you feel. I may say I know how you feel, but I don't. I may say I understand, but I can never completely understand unless I've been in your exact position. But I can tell you, Jesus Christ knew heartache. He knew hardship. He knew hard times. And thank God he's a friend. He's been there. He does know what you're going through. A man said this, a preacher said this, I'm the most understood, misunderstood man on earth. I'm the most misunderstood man on earth. You know, sometimes you feel that way. You kids, sometimes think, well, mom and dad just don't understand. Oh, they understand more than you think. Wasn't that long ago when they were in your position. Some of you kids, the best friend you ever have is your mother and father. And that's the person you despise the most. Isn't it funny? Sometimes we despise the ones that love us the most. People despise the name of Jesus Christ, and no one could love you more than Jesus Christ. When he came, the Bible says in Isaiah, he came, he said, the Spirit of God, the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath minded me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let me tell you something. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. He came to preach good tidings. He came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He came to comfort all that mourn. And yet we still say, you're against me. Yet we still say, I don't need you. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, he's a friend of the sorrowful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God, who will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." You say, what is Jesus doing? He just stand there with his arms open. You say, he wants to be your friend. He's a friend of the sinners. He's a friend of the sorrowful. Let me give you this last one, and we'll bring it to a close. He's a friend of the saints. Hey, if you're saved this morning, you're walking with God, you have a relationship with Him, you know that He's the best friend you'll ever have. Amen. The best friend you'll ever have. Love that song Sister Susan sang this morning. Love that song Sister Tammy sang. Love that song the choir sang this morning. No other name but the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Boy, He's a friend of the saints this morning. In John 15, when Jesus spoke to His disciples and was instructing them before He would be crucified, in John 15, He gives the final instructions. And this is what He tells the disciples. In verse number 9, He says this, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." He said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be" what? "Full." I always tell people, if you've been around me at all, I tell you, happiness is the what? Lord. You walk with the Lord, and your joy is going to be what? Full. You may not have everything the world has to offer, but you're going to have some joy. You're going to have some peace. You're going to have some contentment. You're going to have some happiness, because happiness is the Lord. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Did Jesus lay down His life for His friends? Surely He did. 15 says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now you think about it for a minute. Because He's our friends, hey, God's called us. God called me. You say, why? Because I'm His friend. The Bible says, them He called. Many are called, but few are chosen. But it's God that's calling. Thank God. Wasn't it God that called out? He said, "Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam?" You say, why? Because He was His friend. And He was looking for him. He called me, He chose me. The Bible says I was chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. He confides in me. Thank God. We're friends. And that is God. Hey, He comes to us and speaks to us and reveals things to us. Does God ever talk to you? He should. You say, you just got to get close to God and you'll hear His voice. You ever leaned over and you was talking quietly with your friend? That's what God does. He talks quietly with His friend. He's a friend of the saints. He comforts me. I can tell you tonight, this morning, there are some times when only God can comfort you. When someone dies close to you, only God can comfort you. When you lose a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter, it's only God that can comfort you. When you go through heartbreak in your life, tragedies and families and homes and things happen, it's only God that can comfort you. We try and comfort one another, do we not? Remember Job's three friends? What did he say? They came to comfort Job. They really did come to comfort Job. But he said, "Miserable comforters are y'all." He said, "You guys are worthless. You didn't make me feel any better." Hey, I've gone to talk to people, make them feel better, and when I left, they were crying. I said, "Boy, that didn't work out so well." I didn't go there and make them cry. I went there. I mean, one day, and they were glad to see me leave. I mean, understand what I'm saying here? You ever been glad to see people leave? I'm like, man, you didn't make me feel any better. But you know what? When God comes along, Jesus comes by your side. Man, you talk about feeling better. You feel better. When Jesus comes by, you're going to feel better. You say, why? Because He can put that finger on that hole in your heart. He can patch that hole you got in your heart. He can do what other people can't do. With the unseen hand, He can bring that comfort and that peace that passes all understanding. I remember my mom died. And I held my mom's hand and we did our part. We were there when she died. We were there when she went to be with the Lord. And I went home that afternoon and I was going to preach mom's funeral 4 days later. And boy, there was just such a hole in my heart at that moment. Mom didn't die over a period of years. She was diagnosed with cancer on August 31st. And she went home to be with the Lord November 13th. So, in just September, October, November, two and a half months, she was gone. And she had health up to that last week. And boy, she was just gone. You know, my dad died over a period of 6 years and suffocated death with emphysema. And the day he died, it was such a relief because the suffering was over. But mom died so suddenly that it was such a loss. And I went home and I called Brother Vic, and I couldn't even talk to him. I was crying. Talked to my dad and told my wife. I said, "Listen, hon, I'm just going to go in there and lay down on the couch for a few minutes." And I prayed and I said, "Lord, I said, I need the peace of God that passes all understanding, and I need it right now." And I closed my eyes, and I'm not lying. I woke up in 15 minutes. I thought I'd slept through the night. In 15 minutes, I woke up. And all the sorrow and grief and pain and hurt was immediately gone. It was as if mom never died. And my old family was crying, and they said, "How are you going to preach your funeral?" I said, "I prayed and I asked for God to give me peace, and He gave it to me. I can't explain it. I've never experienced it like that before in my life. Had never experienced it since then. Thank God I haven't needed it since then." But the Lord took away all that pain and hurt in 15 minutes. When I woke up out of that nap, again, it was like mom never died. I preached mom's funeral. And my family, my soul. I wish God had done for me what He did for them. I wish He had done for them what He did for me. 5 years later, they're still crying tears. But I'm telling you, when God gives you peace, there's no peace like that. God can give you peace. You know, so many folks, they're troubled in their soul. God wants to give you some peace. God wants to give you some help. God wants to give you some grace. But the way to get it is by allowing Jesus Christ to be your friend. It's by allowing Him to be your friend. People say, "Well, there's so many rules." You know, being a friend of God is not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." When I found out that Jesus Christ was my friend, my whole life changed forever. And walking with God has always been a delight. Does that mean there's not problems? There'll always be problems. But you know what? I got a friend now. And for the last 35 years, I've been able to come to Him with my problems. For the last 35 years, He's walked with me and He's put His arm around me. And He said, "Don't worry about it. It's all right." You say, why? Because I got a friend. He's a friend this morning of sinners. He's a friend of the sorrowful. Thank God He's a friend of the saint. But you know what? Having said all those things, I've told you about my friends. I've told you about Davy Wilson and Doug King and Kenny and David Sproing and Billy and Scott. You know, but you don't know them. They weren't your friends. You can't know them. You didn't grow up with them. But you can know Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, the greatest thing you ever do is allow Him to be your friend. Let's stand.